You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Wednesday, 22nd May. We've got local inflation data, 10 a.m. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb studios in Gauteng, Johannesburg. On the show today, Karen Whitten from Anchor. What's driving PGM prices? And perhaps is it sustainable? Andre Meiberg from TWK. Tough results. A fire in an adjacent facility contaminated hundreds of millions of rands of wood chips. And then Danny Marwis here is from Finolta, South Africa. ODP licenses, can they be used by third parties, and how does company comply with the requirements? This show is brought to you by StanLib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Morning headlines for MoneyWeb. A turning point for South Africa's economy. Primary surplus provides a glimmer of hope. Primary surplus, in other words, before we pay interest. Business day. Transaction capital narrows losses. Company proposed detailed business plan on SA Taxi balance sheet restructure to the funders. Morning markets. US was green. S&P up a quarter of a percent. NASDAQ up a fifth of a percent. The East is mostly red. Sydney down a tenth. Tokyo down 0.6%. Hong Kong, the odd one out, up 0.1%, while Tencent is off 0.2%. Commodities, mostly green. Gold, 2,445. Brent is your red at 82.35. Platinum, 1,062. Palladium, 1,030. Rand, 18.07. Bitcoin, 69,900. And top 40 opening call, we're looking for about 220 points to the upside. That is 0.3%. Are you ready to maximize your retirement income? Join me alongside experts from 10X Investments as they reveal strategies for a sustainable retirement. Register now to join the free webinar today, 11:30. Discover building blocks to a lasting living annuity. Register moneyweb.co.za.
MoneyWeb Now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Trading now with Karen Whitten from Anchor. Karen, appreciate the early morning time. PGMs, I mean, I read out the prices every morning on the show. They had been massively under pressure. And I think we had palladium down in the 900s, low 900s. We had platinum sub 900. They're now both above 1,000, sort of edging higher. What's driving this move in platinum and palladium?
And I think with anything to do with price movements, there's of course short-term factors as well as long-term factors driving it. And in the short term, I think I'd just like to highlight three things that I picked up. And it's obviously been a weaker dollar over the past week or so since that US April inflation data came in lower than expected. This increases the prospect of cuts from the Fed, which does tend to drive the dollar lower, and precious metals, of which PGMs are a part of, do tend to move inversely with the US dollar. And then as a group, their prices also do tend to move together. So we've seen gold obviously shoot the lights out, and I think platinum just playing, or PGMs rather, just playing a bit of catch up. Gold up 18% this year, so it'll be interesting to see if platinum can, you know, narrow that converge that gap to gold. Second, I think well, the auto demand has been much stronger than was expected by the market. It's actually at a 7-year high. Wow. And this was despite predictions of the demise of internal combustion engines. and what we are seeing is higher for longer demand from the auto industry for PGMs and platinums. And then I think thirdly, this is more to do with the miners, but the market was just too pessimistic on PGM prices. And I think that the outlook for prices was too low. And as I said, this auto demand as well as the weaker dollar has meant that investors have had to sort of calibrate their expectations higher for PGMs.
I take your point, and particularly, I mean, we've seen them moving, and you know, everyone thought that it was what the end of the day for ICE, internal combustion, but of course that's not always the case. The market is usually, well, the market has its own ideas in many senses. What about gold? I mean, is gold happening at the same point as well? I mean, certainly we have had as you mentioned in the intro there, a nice move.
Yes, Simon. I think gold's up, I checked, 25 to 30% over the past year. And I think this has been quite well covered, but it has been driven largely by the geopolitical tension in over the past few years. The U.S. obviously kicking Ukraine, Russia, out of the financial system, and the U.S. and you know the U.S. is countries that are not so friendly with the U.S. are now questioning whether that could happen to themselves as well. So China has been building up huge reserves of gold. Their central bank. So central bank buying has been a big factor as to the gold strength. Difficult to know if it will continue going forward. The trend is normally your friend, and it seems like the geopolitical tension is not easing. And if we do start to see some rate cuts coming through, which is likely at the end of this year, the US dollar should weaken. And as I've said, that tends to be good for the gold price. And then as a group, they do tend to move together.
Yeah.
PGM platinum is also used for jewelry, so it does help to sort of explain the relationship with gold there.
Yeah, I take your point. So, and again, that weaker dollar is certainly helping, and maybe some dollar weakness into the rest of the year can run these all higher. Kieran Whitten from Anchor, appreciate the early morning. That's our poll today, LinkedIn and Twitter. PGM prices, have they bottomed? Neil Fronman, back in February, he said that the worst is behind us. And, well, so far, so good. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter.
Hear that? Nothing. Your money can do more when it blocks out the noise, as hard as it is these days. When you invest in the Stanley Balanced Cautious Fund, we manage the risks so that you can see stable inflation-beating returns through market cycles. Invest with more certainty at stanlib.com/more. Stanlib is an authorized financial services provider and a registered manager.
MoneyWeb now. On the money.
Chatting with Andrea Myberg, MD, TWK Agri. Results for 6 months ending February. So revenue of 13.6%, HEPS of 10%. Andrea, I appreciate the time. The big story in these results was the timber segment, and that really was a contamination of wood chip stockpiles. What happened here? I mean, as I understand, completely beyond your control. One of those, as the insurance people would say, just an act of God that went against you.
Yes, morning, Simon. No, thank you very much also for the opportunity. Now, definitely not the performance we wanted for the 6 months, especially was our timber segment. And with the fire that broke out, unfortunately, next to us, our neighbors, they had a big fire that was there for almost 2 weeks. They were fighting that fire. And we had to spray some fire detergent onto our wood chips, and also some of the carbon that the wind blow onto our wood chips mean that we will not be able to sell them to the normal pulp market. We had to get alternative markets in the bio industry to sell it to. And it's also a market that have contracts, long-term contracts, not easy to just sell it into that market, but at least we've been able to sell about more than half of it already.
Okay.
But unfortunately, for the first 5 months, we will not be able to produce because we had the stock about 400-500 million that was lying there, and we were not able to move it, and so we cannot produce new stock that we can export. So that was a little bit of a headwind for us for the first 6 months.
Is that now over? Are you back to exporting? Is that now all sort of cleared through the system?
Yes, not 100%. We still sit with one or two loads that hopefully will be out before the end of September. But we're running at 100% capacity of the mill at this stage. And we have also full order book. So we're definitely going to have a very good last 6 months, especially on the wood chip export side.
Could you claim insurance for this?
Yes. You know, okay. We had insurance for it, but you know, we terminated our loss was 255 million and in the end we were paid out 160. So there is a little bit of a shortfall, but we think we'll hopefully make it up in the next 6 months also.
This, if I recall correctly in previous conversations, this exports, is it Japan that they're going to?
Yeah, mostly. Japan is our biggest market. And then also, we're also going a little bit to China. Europe is more the bio market, so some of this we have sold to the Europe side is more in a bio market, but most of it is going to Japan, yes.
Gotcha. Locally, if we look at timber, I would imagine a sector generally that is the economy is under strain, the consumer is under strain, and if I think around potential buyers locally, it would be DIY, it would be mining, it would be agriculture, and I look across those three sectors, it is tough out there.
Yes, yeah, it's a different kind of product. But, you know, also what happened from our side, you know, we also have exchanged contracts with Mondi and Sappi, and because the nearest mill, they deliver and we deliver on them. Because we couldn't keep up our side of that contracts, then they also didn't take some of our products because we sit with our plantations near their mills and they didn't take. So that also had a knock-on effect on our plantation side as well during this time. But yeah, definitely on the building side, that's going slow. You know, that's not a market that the state is shooting out the lights. And I think you can see in York's figures as well.
Yeah.
It's not a lucrative market. Also on the pole side, you know, farmers also who's doing building and fencing. It's not a market that's growing rapidly at this stage, but it is there. At least it's kind of a stable market at this stage. The biggest thing is actually in the mining sector. We have to close two of our mills in the past year. And also the other big player is Timmerite, and they also closed two mills because the mining sector is a declining sector. And I think you also see how all of the mining companies is doing, and it's not doing that well at this stage, and they're closing some of their shafts, and that have a direct impact also on us for delivering some of our products to that market.
Gotcha, gotcha. Constantia Fertilizer, it's been volatile. There's been lots of, wars in Ukraine, if I recall, China blocking exports. So there's been a fair bit of volatility, but that really does seem to have performed well in the period.
Yes, yeah, especially if you compare it to the previous year, last year, because in the Ukraine war and everything started, immediately all the commodity prices, especially the fertilizer, rocket through the roof, and then just to come down again, everything that goes up must come down, but it come down very sharply, much sharper than we thought, and that wasn't very good for us last year. This year it has evened out more after it has come down sharply last year. Now it's normal kind. It is a volatile market anyway, but that big spikes, I think in 2008 we had one, and now it is the biggest spike that we had in 2023.
Gotcha. El Nino, I mean, certainly it hasn't been countrywide, but it has certainly impacted some of the regions where you operate. Has it been significant, and has it sort of passed, or is it likely to stick around still?
Yeah, no, we are luckily in the part of the country where the rainfall is a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like in Northwest or the Free State. But even in Mpumalanga, especially in the Highveld, you had certain places where they had good rainfall and places that was not so good. So overall, I think we're still going to have a decent yield from the areas where we operate. But on the national level, there's definitely, and that's why the prices of especially the white maize is very high at this stage, because there's definitely going to be a short. Although international prices has come down also very sharply. It's like yellow maize and white maize. There's a big difference between that prices at this stage and some. Normally, they are not too far away from one another. Yeah, looking at going forward from El Nino side, you know, it's always difficult to predict what's going rainfall. If, you know, if I could have done that, then I would be very rich and I could have helped a lot of farmers. But yeah, we definitely thought this isn't that going to last that long, hopefully.
Yeah,
but it is a cycle.
It is a cycle. But hopefully it doesn't last too bad. We leave it there. Andrea Myberg, MD TWK Agri. Appreciate the time.
Your money can do more when it's investing with conviction. Our partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management gives you access to in-depth, broad market research and high-return investment strategies. So invest in a select set of companies with long-term structural growth potential with StanLib's Global Growth Fund. Seek more returns at stanlib.com/more. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Chatting now with Danny Marwis. He is CEO of Finalta South Africa. Danny, appreciate the early morning again. We chatted sometime last month. We were talking about ODP licenses. These are essentially the licenses that is issued by the FECA if a FSP wants to provide derivative products. We're talking here CFDs, FX and the like. First question to follow up from our last chat. Talk us through, you were saying it's a constantly changing environment from the FSCA, and that means you sort of, and you're not staying ahead of the process, but you need to stay abreast of the process, I suppose.
Yes, of course. I mean, you need to have a proactive approach than defensive, I would say. So, you know, taking this proactive approach not only ensure compliance, but it also fortify your company reputation, right? And and secondly, I think it's vital to be able to keep your team in the loop. I think that, you know, regular and informal compliance training session can Make sure that everyone is on the same page, especially in terms of update and the new implementation of new regulation, from the FFCA. And maybe a third point that would be worth mentioning is that leveraging technology, when you leverage technology, it can help you to stay compliant. And, today's technology can do a great deal in monitoring and reporting, making your due diligence easier and smarter and not harder. And when it comes down to Finalto, we have our own, of course, technology stacks and decades of experience to help our clients stay in compliance, even as regulatory expectations change so quickly.
I take that, and I suppose I hadn't thought of that. Of course, the tech stack can absolutely help a ton. And the ODP licenses, relatively new, coming over the last couple of years. Certainly, a lot have been issued. And I've chatted with yourself. I've chatted with others from the industry around them, because I always say to folks, are you sure your broker is ODP license compliant? There is another process, whereas you, as someone who has an ODP license, could you almost take a third-party broker under your wing and sort of help them with that license process? In other words, sort of be the licensee for the ODP?
Yes, of course. So that's actually the main product or the main solution that we are offering to our B2B clients. Mm. Because nowadays, you have two solutions, right? You have two ways to look at it. Either you apply yourself for an ODP license, which will cost you tons of money and resources, including time, of course. Mm-hmm. And I think that for all of the local FSPs, time is running out, because the FFCA is definitely increasing the good scrutiny, to ensure the good compliance of FSPs in terms of good licensing, and especially, the product distributed. So option one, you apply for your own ODP and you cross your finger that you're going to get it before a hard deadline, which I think is going to come sometime by the end of this year or next year. Or you go for a liquidity provider such as Finalto, which is pretty much able to provide you with a liquidity solution, ODP compliant and FFCA approved. So with us, it's pretty much like a plug and play solution. As long as, of course, you meet all requirements and you're compliant and so on and so forth, but we can onboard you within a few weeks. And if you don't want to bother with all of these extra costs and all of these extra resources required to get an ODP license from the FFCA, then maybe your way to go would be to start with a liquidity provider such as Finalto, so that you can end up being ODP compliant in South Africa.
If I'm approaching you in this regard, of course, I need to still have FSCA. I need to be an FSP. I can't just rock up there as Simon Brown with no regulation and process behind me. I need to have completed at least the FSP part of the process, and I would have myself an FSCA number already. But the key thing, I think, there is that if your provider might have the FSCA. If they don't have the ODP license, they can use a third party. And I think that's perhaps the important point. What Danny was saying there is going to be a hard date. We don't know when that will come, but it will come at some point. And I can't stress this enough. If you're trading with a CFD or a provider or the likes, a derivative provider, make sure that if they don't have the ODP, they've at least got a back end into an ODP license. That's it for today. We're chatting with Petley Redenhurst, discussing opportunities around copper all-time highs. And we asked if you had copper exposure. Around 40% said, yep, you're loving it. The rest missed the boat. And the rest were saying, how do we do it? Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. This show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. We're live every weekday morning on the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie, Nobuchle, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. If you're loving the show, please leave us an awesome rating in your podcatcher of choice. And we'll chat again tomorrow. Spear REIT results.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.